Yeah, it's affordable.
Yes.
Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me tell you. Let me tell you, Patrick, what we're doing here. And let's restate the question. Let's make sure. Patrick's question is this. Okay.
Listen, Patrick.
It's Patrick. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's restate Patrick's question. He says, "What about those that have died? They live. Can they sin again and go to hell?" That's basically the question. Well, God never takes... Okay, this is the first question point. God never removes free choice. That is something that he has given to man. You either choose him or not. Number one. Let me ask you another question. Could Jesus said to the Father, "I don't want to go to the cross"? What do you think, Patrick? What do you think, Emmanuel? Did the Father force Jesus to the cross?
No.
That's right.
Maybe yes or no. In one way or the other, if God needed somebody to do the clothes, then Jesus was there. And Jesus had the free will, also as a human being,
yes,
to say no to the clothes.
That's right. Good for you. Jesus always had free will, yet he never sinned. If you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll find that Jesus says, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." You see, people that have no death in them anymore still have free choice. What about Lucifer, Satan? Before he fell, he was called the covering cherub. In him was pipes and music. He was the most beautiful of all the angels. But yet, he had, it says, iniquity was found in him. It was pride. What was the pride? The pride was this. That he saw that God was going to create man in his own image and likeness. And that he was going to give to his sons and daughters a place on the throne. Even though Lucifer was the highest of all the angels, or the archangels, some would argue Michael or Gabriel, but Lucifer was the covering cherubim. And when Lucifer says, "Hey, I'm the big shot here," and he's going to give to those human beings the potential to become like God. And so he thought about it, and it just started building in him. And then God recognized iniquity was in Lucifer. As Lucifer made a statement, "I will ascend unto the Most High God. I will be like the Most High God." That statement was not for the angel Lucifer, it was for the fact that you and I as men created in his image and likeness had the full potential of ruling and reigning with him and being elevated to the throne. Now, so God cursed Lucifer, and he right now is in heaven going back and forth. And he is telling God our bad deeds, the things that we sin. He is always trying to influence. So let's talk about it, to Patrick's question. So Lazarus was raised from the tomb, but he died again. We know that because we see this grave in Cyprus. I've been to the place where Lazarus was raised from the grave in Bethany, which is just a half a mile outside of Jerusalem. I've been there. But when you go to Cyprus, I believe it's Cyprus, where they have his tomb, you know he died again. So what does that tell us? We recognize that even though that Jesus raised him from the grave, it tells us that even Lazarus still had iniquity or an appointment of death in him. Okay, Patrick? It was still an appointment of death in him. and he died. We know that. He was the bishop of that town. Now, to answer your question even fuller, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 4. Okay? For it is impossible for those who were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, who were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to open shame. Now listen. Lucifer, I'm not talking about specifically, but you need to think a minute. Use your head. Use the Word of God. Better yet, consider that Lucifer not only knew the heavenly things, he had this brilliant knowledge, he knew of the Holy Spirit, he had a relationship with God, he was perfect in all his ways until Isaiah tells us that iniquity was found in him and he was eternally lost. I almost hate to use that example because an angel is not made like a man. A man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The angels of God are made up of spirit and as spirit. They're spirit beings. Man is human beings. They have mind, will, and emotions, a physical body, and a soul. So that's probably a bad example to use. But what he is telling us, when a Christian has walked so long with God that he has seen the glory of God, he has learned, he is the living Word of God, he has done miracles in his name, he has performed and has been recognized by the heavens as being a mature son, that he has used the grace of God to bring him to the pinnacle of his existence. For him, if he chooses to go back, he can't come back again, because he had complete knowledge and he made choice that violated the very tenets of what he pressed into. So when it writes in Hebrews chapter 6, for it is impossible for those who were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts, who are made partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, there you can't. There's no renewing. Once you've crossed the finish line and you try to go back, there's no more. I have young Christians come to me when they read this passage, and they say, I can't be saved. I said, oh, really? I've had preachers that have preached the Word of God for years and years and years, and they walk a holy life, and then I find that they fall into sexual sin with their secretary. And they said, I'm lost forever. I'm a man most miserable. Every one of these men and women have come to a place where they have not come to the fullness of a decision. But there are those that will go into sonship, if you will, according to Hebrews, that may make a choice to go back. Once they have tasted of the heavenly things, they make a decision to go back. Don't think for one moment that Lucifer didn't know what he was doing. He did. He had full knowledge that he was rebelling against God in his purposes. So to answer your question, Patrick,
we're
talking about those men and women that have gone through justification, being saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should be boast. They went through their second day of sanctification, where they went to the altar of showbread, where they experienced the seven spirits of God, the altar of incense, and have finally entered into the Holy of Holies. And they are called sons. See, if a baby steals candy from a store, mommy and daddy slap their hand. But if a grown man steals something from the store, he goes to jail. You see, the price tag is different. For those that have moved all the way through justification, sanctification, and into glorification, that choose to go back, there's no more. They can't do it. And that's what Hebrews 6 is saying. But I'll be honest with you. I have never met anybody yet that has gone through their second day. I've seen some very wonderful and holy people come to close to it, but they or fall away, or they sin, or they become so discouraged. Doesn't mean that Jesus won't forgive them. He does. But when you have entered into the holy and been glorified with him like Lucifer was, there's no more going back. You've made the decision. It's ultimate. Remember Judas Iscariot?
Yeah.
Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. According to our understanding of the Bible, Judas Iscariot was closer to Jesus than Peter, James, and John. And I'll tell you why. Who handled the money? Judas. And it says that Judas, little by little, would steal from the pouch of the disciples and use it on himself. He started committing these little sins. Oh, they won't notice if I take a shekel. They won't notice if I do this. And he walked with Jesus and he saw the miracles. He saw all these things. And he still chose to take 30 pieces of silver and betray the Son of God, who he knew was the Son of God. And there was no more forgiveness. Do you understand, Patrick, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a very good question. Thanks for asking it. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you for asking that question. Do any of you other gentlemen have a question?
Do I get now a doctorate at the end of the year?
It'll cost you 30 pieces of silver. Any other questions? Emmanuel? Pat, Praveen?
No. No, sir.
Was one, my explanation clear?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you asked me these questions. I'm really getting excited about you guys. You're thinking now. That's really good news. See, there's so many Christians, if I can just take a moment. There's so many Christians that live in platitudes. You know, they say, praise the Lord, just pray, have faith. And they throw around these platitudes, just believe. It's soup, you know. You want to sit down and have a meal, and they give you broth or they give you hot water. That isn't going to help you. We have too much in Christianity that is platitudes. It says in Proverbs, it says the glory of God to conceal a matter, but in Proverbs 25, but it is the glory and the honor of kings to search it out. The why you are listening to me today in your time zone is because you want to know deeper truth and how it works. And by knowing deeper truth, that means you love Jesus more. That means the Spirit of God can operate at a different level. You see, I know that you play cricket in India. What is your favorite, or soccer? You call it football. Does everybody play football in their country? I played soccer. I was a center in the United States. When we think of football, we don't call it football. We like soccer, but we call it a football is a different meaning to a different game. But you all understand soccer. Right? Or football.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I bring that up, you can't expect a professional soccer player to be able to go in and play with children, soccer. Now, they could teach them, but if you put a professional soccer team on the field and a children's soccer team on the field, there's no competition. You understand? They can barely kick the ball, where a good soccer player can kick the ball 50 yards into the net and make a goal. What I want you to be for Jesus is soccer players that can kick the ball from one goal to the other and may score a point. In other words, we get a special word in the Greek called harmatia. You know what that means for some of you? It's the word for sin. It's like an archer that shoots a bow and hits the target bullseye dead on, you see. A person that misses the goal, even by so much, they call it sin or harmatia. Jesus walked a life so perfect that when he was ejected from the Father by the Father's will, he hit the target perfect. And that arrow traveled for 33 and a half years at the speed of an arrow. You are dealing with God's beloved people. And you can let them play as children on the soccer field. Or you can build them into master soccer players that understands the length and the depth of that game. That game of soccer or football is temporary. But what I want to teach you, gentlemen, is how to be able to play as a professional, as the sons of God, that always hit the mark and never miss. And that takes knowledge. And that's what I'm hoping to do and praying for you, that you will have a depth of the Word of God that is so rich that you can train others to kick a soccer ball from one goal to another and hit it dead on perfect. That's what we're doing. That's why I want you to come into deeper knowledge and truth. That's why I want you to pray without ceasing. That's why I want you to study the Scriptures. That's why you need to be under fivefold teachers like myself. For we have experienced this. We've experienced this. To me, this isn't just a white and black book with letters on it. I live in it. I live in this book. I think like it. I wish I could act like it, but I do know it. And God's given me more knowledge out of it. Nobody knows as they ought to know. I'm not claiming that, but I am claiming I do know it. And I'm trying to instill in you principles that will allow you to affect your students and your people so that they can become and mature into the sons of God, so that the second death, or the death, that they can break the appointment of death by praising and thanking the Lord Jesus. Will you all say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
I'll move that. I don't know what's wrong with that.
Yeah, it just fell off the thing. See the light. I see the light.
Amen.
Well, gentlemen, what I'm going to do is say a prayer. If you don't have any more questions, I'm going to say a prayer for you. And be ready next week. And we'll take you through deeper truth.
Get your exams in by next week.
And don't forget about your exams. And no cut and paste from the internet. I need to know what's in your heart, not what's on the internet. And I can smell it. Okay? I can smell it.
Okay.
Use your notes. All the information is in your notes. You know? All your information's in the notes. Have you looked at your exams yet?
I'm almost finishing.
Okay, very good, Daniel. How about you, Praveen? Have you looked at your exam yet?
Yeah, no, sir. I am in a hurry to build the church. We need to finish it.
You need to do it. You can do both. Stay up later.
Church buildings.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about a physical building. I'm talking about building God's people. They're the church, not the building.
Yeah.
Because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a car. Okay? Because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a car. Because you're born in a church doesn't make you a Christian.
I just want to say one word, I'm just requesting you. We had 180 believers.
Very good.
180. So to attend all the believers at a time in the church, we don't have a place.
Okay.
In India, it is very tough to have a place.
I know it is. Yeah.
Even though if I able to give $1,000 rent, we don't find even place for worship.
Yeah.
So it is necessary for us to have a church building.
I understand that. You got to be so careful, son. What every circumstance can be different for different congregations, different countries, different churches. You pray and ask God for direction and do the best that you can with what you have. And have faith that God is able to meet you wherever you are. Okay? I know it's difficult. But I would like to say a prayer for you. Okay?
God, for blessings.
Yeah, I would like...
prayers.
Okay.
And I believe from past 15 years onwards, the sonship is with me. Your prayers are with me. So we are growing spiritually, not physically. Physically, we are less than spiritual. Spiritually, we are growing, and your teachings are really inspirable by the Spirit, Holy Spirit. So we are enriching ourselves. And the subject which you are telling, or the messages I am receiving from through mail, the same content we are presenting on Sundays.
Yeah.
To church believers and to the pastors, those who gather every Thursday in my house.
Yeah.
We had four teams, each team having 10 pastors.
Very good.
10 different churches. So we share the gospel which you are telling to us. Same gospel is being preaching in 40 churches and reaching nearly 4,000 believers. So every month.
Wow.
See, it's not, I am saying, if you can come to India, you can see these things visible to you.
Well, so maybe.
Really, we are fighting for our survival among Hindus, Muslims. So many circumstances here against us. There is a lot of, now the government is also against us. So it's a Hindu government, purely Hindu government. Even though we are bringing the gospel to the unreached places, so the gospel of salvation and it's not just a word of salvation. It's more than that. We are learning from you, the gospel of kingdom.
Very good.
Salvation is being preached by many pastors. But nobody knows about the gospel of kingdom.
No.
So we are learning from you. It's a great, mighty revelation from God. And we are teaching the same to our churches.
Thank you, son. How about you, Patrick? Are you teaching your students these things?
Yes, we are. And it's becoming interesting day by day.
How about your brother Emmanuel? Are you teaching your church things?
It's a great year.
Good. Well, you pray for me.
Fred? So great.
How about you, Fred? Are you sleeping, Fred, or are you there? Fred is always faking us out. He gets online and goes to sleep, see? That makes me... Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless our meeting together. Prosper these men of God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.